Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our session. There's some folks over here now. I can see you too behind the speaker there. As I mentioned, this session is all about creating cloud-hosted line-of-business apps. We're going to show you apps for Office, Office 365, Azure, a little bit of WinPhone 8 in here too. My name is Todd Baginski. I work at Canvas Consulting, where I lead our mobility and SharePoint divisions. I've been working with SharePoint for about, I think, 11 or 12 years now. And really, if I had it my way, I'd be a ski patroller or a ski instructor instead, but that just doesn't pay the bills or the mortgage. I'm an 8-time Microsoft MVP with SharePoint, and I pretty much live and breathe this stuff. And I've just been with the product as it's evolved from nothing but on-site to here I'm doing a demo now, which is nothing but the cloud.
I'm Michael Sherman. I work with Todd at Canvas. I'm a solution architect focusing on SharePoint and web. I've been doing SharePoint for the better part of 10 years as well. Started out in primarily development. Also had a chance to branch out into some operations and now architecture work. You might have an 8-time MVP here, but if you were at the dev keynote, you heard that you have to have a guy with a beard to have a legitimate dev session, so I'm a guy with a beard today.
So we got you covered from all aspects.
And while Todd's on the ski slopes, I'm usually in a football stadium somewhere, and my 20 years of Seahawks misery has finally paid off this year. So, yeah, go Hawks.
So you got some Seahawks fans in here. Are there any Bengals fans like me? Yeah. All right. Someone admits it. All right. So who's seen this slide before this week? Just about everybody. Yeah, it's in all the sessions. It's essentially, not everyone has seen it, so I'll briefly touch on it. This slide is really describing what we get with the Office 365 platform now. You know, the platform is being built so that we can create these engaging solutions across Office and custom mobile apps. You're going to see that as part of this session. It has a lot of connected services and many different APIs you can use in the cloud and in clients. We're going to show you those as part of this session too. And really, it has an open platform, a very flexible tooling pattern. You're going to see that across the board here as well today too. So maybe not every session you've seen is hit on all of the points in here. I'm not sure, but this one certainly will.
So what are we going to do here? We're going to set the stage. We're already starting to do that. Basically, how do these technologies with apps for Office in the cloud let us create a line of business application without on-premise code, anything like that? And we really wanted to try to make this not just a smoke and mirrors demo and really do something that could actually be a real application that someone could use. And so the majority of this is going to be our super ultra mega demo. Todd said it's like 20-something minutes long. So we're going to walk through that in its entirety. And then after that, we're going to go through each individual component of it, talk about the patterns we use to build those, and go through some of the code. Then we're going to wrap up and draw some conclusions.
Yeah, one of the things that we found in the past is when we presented a lot of concepts, and you have a demo driving many concepts, when you go demo, bounce the code, come back to demo, bounce the code, you kind of lose context of what's really going on, don't you? So we're going to walk it in then, come back, dive into some of the code, talk about the architecture for some of it. And as I mentioned, there's blog posts coming out. So the really deep dive and spending a lot of time looking at code line by line, you're going to get a chance to do that at your leisure. And we're going to spend more of our time today really helping you understand all the pieces of the puzzle here instead of just focusing on a few lines of code at a time. So the key takeaway for this session, here's a couple screenshots of what we're about to show you in the demo, is really that with this new cloud app model we have for SharePoint, it's been around, about a year and a half now, and combining it with apps for Office as well as Azure, you can definitely create completely cloud-hosted line-of-business applications and make them mobile-enabled for your workforce.
So the scenario we're going to be going through is we have a company, and it's very creatively named, and I'm sure you've never heard of it before. They need to create a mobile-enabled tool set to enable innovation management processes. So what we mean by that is our company is a product company. We sell things, maybe e-commerce, maybe a catalog. We need to go out to all of our employees, really get the best ideas for new products, and allow people to pick the best ones via some process. do some qualifications, some triage work on these things, iterate over them, and really refine down to the best one that's eventually going to be implemented. From a technical perspective, we're 100% in the cloud. So we need really to rely heavily on browser-based things, including also the Microsoft Office rich clients, which most of our people do have, and also more and more mobile devices to get to our tools.
When we were looking at what process to use to build this demo, the folks at Microsoft who asked us to create this demo for them gave us a list of a survey they did that identified the top 10 business processes across major organizations in many different verticals. We chose to use the innovation management business process, and so that's the one Michael just described, and that's what you'll be seeing here in the demo.
And also, we already built the other 9, and if anybody really wants to see help desk again, we can go switch to that. But you know.
This slide's really more for reference, so you can look at it afterward if you'd like to learn more about the innovation management process. It basically breaks down the major stages, which you're about to see unfold in the demo. We're going to talk you through the whole thing, so you'll know what's on this slide, but it'll be good for you to go back and look at for a point of reference later.
So from an architectural perspective, what are the components we're going to be bringing in here? On the client side, basically the Office applications. So again, including the rich clients, including the web apps, Office Online. We're going to be using Word to gather some information about our ideas. We're going to be using Excel to do some more kind of numbers, quantitative-based analysis. Then we're going to use a Windows Phone app to allow really quick, sort of easy submission of our ideas.
So we've also got the cloud side of this demo, and there's many different components there, and I'm not going to enumerate all the different things you see listed under each one, but rather just talk at the high level. What are we using to build this out? We've got a private site collection in O365. We use Azure all over the place. It's kind of like the glue. It glues the SharePoint to the apps for Office, to the phone, to everything. It's involved in every aspect of this demo. We have data stored in a SQL Azure database, and the reason we do that is so we can reuse it across different pieces of this line of business application that we've created. And then we've got Azure ACS, which is used for authentication. So with that said, we've got a basis on what this demo looks like. Let's dig in and actually run through it. We're not sure if we're going to have time for Q&A at the end. We practiced this a couple times yesterday in our hotel room. The first time we went 11 minutes over, so we changed how verbose we presented some of the slides you just saw. We got it down to be 1 minute under 75 minutes. And telling you this now is probably taking that 1 minute off. But my point is that if you have questions about this and we don't have time for Q&A, please go to the Yammer group for this track. And I have posted a message there that has materials for this session in it. And ask us questions there. We'd be happy to, you know, go back and forth lots of times with you and answer questions there if we can't do that today. So as we talked about, we've got the Contoso Idea Store. Anybody work for Contoso here? No? Oh, a few people do.
Right. Oh, wow. Welcome.
Is your name Dan Jump by any chance? So the Contoso Idea Store is a company that sells products. And they sell products that people come up with ideas for. And this time that they're getting their ideas is all about sourcing the ideas from the employees that work for the Contoso Idea Store. And so here we're looking at our Office 365 public website. And I wish the monitor would be a little bit bigger resolution, so I have to scroll a bit. But as you can see here, we have an empty leaderboard right now. And the way this innovation management process is going to work is employees are going to submit their ideas. After the ideas are submitted, they need to be further qualified. After the ideas are qualified, they go to a triage team, which really digs deep on them, does projected revenue, things like that, and really says, is this idea a good one? Can it fly? And if it gets past that point in the process, then the 4 ideas that are left are going to be prototyped. They're going to be sent out to focus groups. Focus groups are going to provide information about them. And then all that information at the very end that came about as a result of qualifying, triaging, getting empirical data from your focus groups is going to be used to choose which idea wins and actually goes to production. So that is the process we're about to walk through, and this is the website that's going to drive a lot of it. So to start out, you can see that there's really no ideas in the leaderboard yet. There's no my ideas submitted for me here. Just some information about announcements and what's going on with the contest. So I am going to bounce out of that one real quick, head over to my emulator. So to kick this process off, employee comes to the site, sees this contest is there. They've got this awesome idea that, you know, they're like, I can come up with one of these. Wouldn't that be awesome if I won this contest and, you know, got some revenue out of this thing as a result? So they're on the way home on the bus one day, and they crack their mobile phone open. They open their Contoso Idea Store app. You see it signed in right there and went right past it. I actually signed in beforehand so you couldn't see my password ahead of time, but if you haven't done this with this application and what we build it with, it's authenticating to the SharePoint server there. Notice the announcements in the list, they match up with the exact same ones we saw on the SharePoint site. Those are coming out of the announcements list in the O365 site. I'm going to subscribe to notifications first, bake that into this demo too, just to highlight that little piece of Azure, because it is part an important part of cloud-hosted apps nowadays. So I'm subscribed to notifications via Azure Mobile Services right now. So employee's sitting there on the bus and goes, man, I've got this awesome idea. If I could just get a human USB port, then I could just plug in and download college to my kids in like an hour. That would be so awesome, and everyone would buy this thing. Do you think they'd still charge you like $500,000 to download that, though? I bet they would. So here's the wonderful idea that our person would like to submit, and they're going to click submit there, sending it out. We just went to Azure, put that in a SQL Azure database. Now when I come back to my innovation management portal and refresh it, check out the bottom right here. Now you're going to see the idea appears in the bottom right. So I went from the phone, I got it right into my private O365 site. When you see how much code we wrote to do that, you'll be surprised. It is so simple to do that. It's hardly difficult. 2 years ago to do this pattern, that was much more difficult in SharePoint as well as in Azure. Things are very easy now to do that. Okay, so person's got their idea in there. And now that the idea has been put into the contest, I've got this little app that we wrote down here. This is going to make calls out to Azure as well. It's going to do things in our database to really simulate this process moving along so we don't have to do command line stuff or run SQL queries. Just keep it clean for the demo. So the first thing we're going to do is pretend that the other people inside of Contoso have now submitted their ideas as well. You know, they could have come to the website and done it. They could have done that via phone app. So now, the ideas are submitted. And here, you can see that all the different ideas are now inside of our list here. We've got the human USB port idea has been matched up against some idea called Teeth Brown. Anybody want to buy one of those?
You know, we were originally going to do something involving like March Madness. I think our session description said that. Yeah. Then we realized we were a couple of weeks too early. And yeah. Also, Todd's an Ohio State fan, and I'm a Washington fan, and it's looking a little bleak for both of us. Yeah. So we just, you know, skipped that part.
Yeah, we thought a little bracketology would be fun with March Madness, like we said, but it's a couple weeks away still. So I'm going to click on this one and open it up in a new tab here. We're going to navigate to that site, and that one's not found right now, and I know exactly why. So I'm going to go and fix that one real quick and run that spot again. Something you'll see when we do the blog post on this one, inside of the way we deployed and skinned this entire root site in SharePoint was via this app right here. So it's a good way actually just to show you this as a segue. So this innovation app here, by just hitting this page here, It's going to take the client secret and the client ID associated with the SharePoint site it's running on and this particular app. It's going to put it in the web config in Windows Azure for me. The reason my sub-site didn't create before when I clicked on it and said page not found is because I forgot to come to this page first. And there was no client secret and client ID. Therefore, it couldn't authenticate to the CSOM and create that site. So something went wrong in the demo, but we all learned a little bit from it at the same time. So we're going to go back real quick. Just going to reset from the beginning. This will actually seems like, oh no, my demo broke, but I was going to talk about this later anyway, so I might as well bring it up now instead. Did you see how I just right-clicked on my database project there? And then I can go here and load a publishing profile for it. As soon as I do that, I can publish it, and I push it directly to Azure. One of the points you're going to make in a later slide is that the amount of integration between Visual Studio and Azure now is unbelievable. I can publish databases like this. I can do all kinds of different things. And that is because, darn it, the IP address is different here than my room, and Azure is going to block that. So while I do this, I'm going to go back. Can you sign into here and take care of the IP wall? Why don't you do it on that one?
Sure.
And then I'll keep going with the other parts of the demo that I can still drive. Sorry about that bit here. So we are just going to pop back to the beginning. Once we get that IP fixed, we'll be able to push this through again very quickly. So in my innovation management site, I mentioned we use this application here to deploy it. And I mentioned when I came to this page, it copies my client secret ID to Azure and it syncs everything up for me. You notice there's a button on this page too. It says deploy the Contoso internal site. I've already clicked it. I don't have to do that again. But another one of the patterns we were going to show is that when you deploy the Contoso site by doing this, we've already created an Office 365 site. We install this app to the site, and then we click the button. And that button took that site from looking like a stock Office 365 team site, and it turned it into this. And the way it did that was using what's called the remote provisioning pattern. This is a new pattern that's been being talked about a lot in the SharePoint space. Essentially, what you do with the remote provisioning pattern is you use the CSOM to upload things to SharePoint, like CSS files, JavaScript files, images, master pages, page ads, all those artifacts that really brand and skin your site. You upload those things with the CSOM, and then you can apply them to your site. You see how we have all the different web parts in different places here, and I have different links on the left-hand side, and I even have some content in here in the announcements list. 100% of what you see on this site was actually programmatically provisioned through this remote provisioning pattern. So if you're doing development with the cloud, you get yourself two tenancies, is what we like to do. One is your test and dev tenancy, and one is your production tenancy. You test these kind of provisioning things on your dev and test tenancy, and you know you're doing it programmatically. Once it works and you've got it good and it's created all your lists, put page layouts in there, hooked up your CSS, assigned your master pages, you know, even made content in my announcements list programmatically. You do that in dev and test, then you know it's good to go. And so after you've done that in dev and test, and you know it's good to go, you can then take that same exact app like I showed you here, upload it to your production tenancy, click the button again. You've already tested it. It's going to another tenancy, which is the same thing as the other one you had. And bang, you've got your site deployed. You don't have to waste time on manual uploading page layouts or master pages or configuring your site. I mean, does anyone find that difficult to do, to show of hands to do that? So this is a huge time saver. The code for this is obviously going to be in the blog post about this, but just a few days ago, Microsoft released the samples and branding package for SharePoint. And that was something that Mike and I had the pleasure to work on with Microsoft and the MSDN folks. And you'll find 9 succinct code samples in there which describe how to do all those things I just talked about with the remote provisioning pattern. I know the easiest way to find it is go look on Vase's blog about SharePoint. If you just go to Bing and do Vase SharePoint blog, you'll see it. He just posted it a couple days ago, so you can learn more about it there. Yeah, that's the one.
Great.
So Mike's republishing the database here because we're a little out of order because I forgot to click that button. But I just knocked out three other slides that we had in the meantime. We're still on track with time. And so got a chance to talk about the remote provisioning pattern as a result. It's not liking it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's turn the
image. I'll try to do it real fast here then. Let's go back over to that's the slide deck. Why don't I do that? We can come right back to it and just go through a couple here, do a little bit different order.
So we're going to talk about some of the core technologies that were involved when we built this. Office 365 private websites. So the important thing, it's kind of an obvious point to make, the important thing here is that, you know, we often think about SharePoint sites or Office 365 sites as sort of collaboration portals, right, where we're sharing documents and workflows and all those SharePoint-y things that we're all familiar with. Mm-hmm. You know, in this case, we're really using it as a platform to host our app. So, you know, it shouldn't be overlooked that we really have this nice sort of WCM platform with authentication and you know, things like that, and then we can consume some of these other services that are available there in the context of our app. Apps for Office, which we'll see when we get back to the demo later, and the Microsoft Office client, you know, technologies themselves, the things that are available out of the box with Office, can really be integrated into a process like this. The Windows Phone 8 we saw, and then, you know, Windows Azure with the websites, the SQL databases, and the mobile services that are available there are really critical to glue all this stuff together, as we talked about. So in terms of the tools we used, our website is built in just an ASP.NET MVC 5. We're using the Unity framework to provide an object relational model to our code and our database. Visual Studio 2013 is our IDE. And then the sort of client-side technologies, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, jQuery, Ajax, et cetera. So the point of putting this slide here is that, to me, this really looks like any other web app that we've all built, right? We're not heavily relying on super proprietary custom kind of things to integrate with Office like we might have had to used to do with some of the other Office add-on things, or even the web part framework and things like that that were in SharePoint.
Okay, well, we got a weird thing with routing going on. We recorded this, though, so we're just going to run with that one. What's happening is that SQL Azure, it wasn't what I thought. It's SQL Azure. Even after I add the firewall rule and it says this IP address can access it, I can't access it. So there must be something going on with the routing in here. Good news is we thought this could happen because that is part of a cloud demo. So we have this recorded, and we're just going to go through the recording with it. It's the exact same thing you would have seen anyway. And we'll pause it at the appropriate times, and then talk it through. So let's go with this here. Was anybody a Boy Scout besides me? Remember the Boy Scout motto? Be prepared. That's right. Be prepared. Okay, so we're going to come back here. Again, we're just going to run from the start, and just to catch it up, a little mix up there to, you know, get back on the same page. So submitted my idea, or I come to my site, or my phone application, I mean, I'm looking at the different ideas that are available, or the announcements that are available. Pointing out here that there are those announcements right there in the site on O365 that we saw inside of our phone application. So I'm going to go back to the site now and check out what the site looks like. And again, sign up for notifications so that we can be notified when we something goes on related to the Contoso portal contest here. I'm subscribed to the notification. Now I'm going to go over and submit my idea. As you can see, I tried to make my idea a little bit more funny last night than it was when I recorded this a week ago. But our idea is just going to be idea name for right now. So when I submit that, as you saw before, it goes really fast. It bounces right up into the SQL Azure database there. And we see that in the team site when we refresh the page. Has anybody done phone and Azure or SharePoint integration here so far? A few people have. Been doing it for a long time or just get started? Yeah, cool. So now we're getting to that point before I talked about seeding the first round ideas. So now that our ideas are seeded, what happened when we seeded the ideas there was that many different things happened, actually. The database was updated in a table that was our leaderboard table that drives the top of the page where you can see the different ideas and how they're pitted against each other. For each idea, a team site was also created so that that process of qualification and triage and collaboration on it as it moves close to the final and maybe becomes a product, there's a place to do those activities. When those team sites were created, we also actually uploaded and installed an app for Office into each one. It is in a SharePoint provider-hosted app. You can install SharePoint apps via CSOM code. There's no one who has a blog post on it. I can't believe it. We found this a few weeks ago and went, wow, I didn't know you could do that. And so we actually installed the application there, and you're going to see the apps for Office that are part of that application here in just a bit. So now that the person uploaded their idea, the team site was created, a process occurs when people look at the ideas that are put into the conference and they evaluate them and they say, okay, is this idea qualified enough as part of innovation management to really, you know, go to the next level? And so what we're going to do now is simulate that that process, that human process is happening, and that, or something, maybe it could be an automated process is happening. I click the bottom button in there, and you can see we have a notification that occurs on the phone. So when I did the drop down in the bottom right and clicked the button, what happened is it ran some code to look through a qualification flag in our ideas table, if it's a bit flag to say is it qualified or not. That idea was not marked as qualified. It found that out, and then it fired the notification to the Windows Phone 8 to say, as you can see, qualify your idea in the portal. And then the tile changes down here in our Windows Phone 8 app to say new idea processed. You can see the tile flips, too, and says, go qualify your idea. So now the person says, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. All I did was put in a name and a short description. People probably need to know more about my idea. This is where we enter with the apps for Office. The person comes to the portal, they click on the idea name link, and they're taken to the subsite that I talked about that we created and provisioned an app into, and we skinned it. Here you can see in the subsite, we've got a tasks list from SharePoint. We have tasks sitting in the task list. When we provision the subsite, we put those tasks in there. We figured these are some common example tasks for this process. We might as well make them right off the bat so every time someone comes to the team site, we can drive this process forward. In the right side, you see some document libraries linked, qualify documents, triage documents, and focus group result documents. Those are those three processes I talked about from innovation management. That is actually the app we uploaded and activated with CSOM. It's just the client web part showing that particular app. So you can see their regular SharePoint task list and how you can use that. One of the key things to keep in mind when you're building things with the cloud like this is that you want to make sure that you're not just doing cloud for the sake of doing it and doing some SharePoint here for the sake of doing it. Look at SharePoint as a platform, really. If there's things that fit well in SharePoint, like a tasks or announcements list, go for it. Here I'm demonstrating inside of the site that we created. This is the app that contains our apps for Office, where you're about to see that work with the Word documents. It's called the Innovation Management Apps for Office. When we created the site programmatically, as I mentioned, we automatically uploaded that particular app and we installed it. What we're going to do now is we're going to really go through the qualification process that our phone message told us to do. So we head to the Qualify Documents document library. We go and open up our IDEA qualification form. The IDEA qualification form got in that document library, not by manual upload. We put it in there by putting an app installed event on the app we uploaded to our SharePoint site and say, after you're installed and activated, and you've got the document library ready to go, upload this document so people don't even have to create it. So here is our app for Office. In the right side of the pane is what we wrote and uploaded as part of that application I showed you called the Innovation Management Apps for Office. On the left side is the Word document. In the middle, we've got the Wikipedia app. Microsoft actually created this app and published it to the store. To do the qualification process, as the form loads on the right side, you're going to see that you can pick a given age and sex and income and occupation and different things. And as I pick them on the right side of the page, they are going to update on the left side of the page. See that? So I'm interacting with a web page that I deployed as a task pane app for Office. And as I change values in it, I can actually update the contents in the document. The information coming from the right side comes out of our SQL Azure database. So as you can imagine, you can pull information from all kinds of different places in your organization and use it to assemble your documents. We have that little development console I showed there as well. You probably wouldn't build that in a production app, but it's just something that we did to allow us to look at this and really see what was happening as our different code was executing. One other thing that we'd like to point out about the apps for Office here is you notice I have two apps for Office. I mentioned I have the Wikipedia app, and I also have the one that we created custom. You can mix and match these things any way that you want and have as many in there as possible. So now I'm demonstrating that if I change the values in the right or the left, you know, and I click refresh, it's going to go to Azure and pull in the appropriate information there. So coming back out, you can see I double-click on sports to select it. Now, the Wikipedia app is going to allow me to take information and further qualify my idea. Now, you probably really wouldn't go to Wikipedia to qualify a brand new idea, but the point is really demonstrating that you can use these apps for Office to inject content from several different places inside of your apps inside of SharePoint. So in the supplemental information section, now that we have qualified who the intended customer is for this particular product, we can select some more information and put that now right in there as well. Now we've used two apps for Office to build our document. Finally, you can do other things like, well, wouldn't it be good to have like an image or a diagram or something of what this idea is all about before we go ahead and try to build that out as a product. So you can just use Word just like you could as well. Just because you injected an app for Office into an Office client document doesn't mean that the Office document doesn't work the exact same way it did before. So as you can see, now we've got a fully built out document using capabilities of Word, the online capabilities of Word, as well as an app for Office, to really build a form that allows people to qualify their ideas for this part of the process. I want to point something out here. I'm typing in the description, create a better lacrosse stick. I can save that document into my document library and that value will stick. However, if I open it up again and I haven't bound that section, or I have bound that section, it'll get overwritten from somewhere else. So now, the person has qualified their idea. And now that the idea is qualified, and all the ideas in the contest are qualified, Contoso sends out an email to all the employees. And they say, the Contiso Idea Contest is underway. Use the Idea Contest app, here we are in Outlook, to vote for the ideas in the first round, to select the first round winners. They're letting their employees evaluate the ideas and vote for them. And everyone who casts a vote is entered in a drawing to win a fabulous Contiso Idea mini toaster oven. I bet we could all use one of those, right? So here they are, and now this is another type of app for office that we have. This is called a mail app for office. Check it out. Outlook's even so smart. It saw that I had a sentence in there that said, use the Contoso Idea app to evaluate this idea, and it made that an action item for me. This was a complete accident. I actually thought it was awesome when it popped up, and I was like, oh, wow, I'm just so awesome. I even got to show another part of Outlook. But no, it was an accident, but it's a good thing to show. You can actually flag this message now because Outlook was smart enough to look at the content and see you had an action item. So the first app for Office we had there was the Task Pane app in Word. This is what's called a mail app for Office. Here, I can go and compare the different ideas that have been submitted to the contest, and I can, you'll see when I click on them, it's going to show me the information about each idea side by side. This allows me directly from Word to look at these ideas, to perform an evaluation upon them, and to cast my votes for them. I don't even have to leave Outlook to do so. Now you can see I have a sparse amount of information in here, but as you imagine, if you had your information more filled out, that could be very helpful for you. Also, one thing I don't demonstrate, the blue hyperlinks at the top where it says idea 9 and 10 right now, and now 13 and 14, those are hyperlinks that take you right to those team sites out in the O365 site. I pointed out there where I did not do that last vote, and then you saw the dialogue pop up that said you didn't vote for everything here. One thing to point out on a mail app for office or any app for office, they don't support alerts in JavaScript. And so if you want to dialogue like that, you just have to use some jQuery or something to build your own div that you show on the page. So now that I cast my votes are going out, they're being tallied and registered in the SQL Azure database as well that tracks the information associated with this contest. And now I'm going to return back to the Innovation Management Portal here in just a second. There we can see our update has finished. We'll return to the portal, and now the next part of this process will begin. What I'm going to do is, again, just kick off a little link we created there. This one is going to update the database and simulate the fact that the voting is done across the company. And now that the votes are tallied and the employees have voted on what they like for the first round idea the most, we refresh the page, we move to the second round. The second round, and the part of the idea innovation management process, is the triage stage. I'm going to let Mike take over here and talk about what's going on when we do triage throughout innovation management.
All right, so again, we go into a link in a document library and we're opening another document similar to the Word document. This time, we have an Excel sheet because we need to do some financial analysis here. So you'll see again that as we load this, our metadata about our ideas, again, pulled from our database, brought directly into the document. And now we have a task pane over here. And this task pane has gone to our enterprise system, which in the demo here is just represented by our SQL Azure database, pulled some numbers and kind of is comparing the projected revenue of this idea to the other ideas in the system. And as we go through our historical financial statements component down here, we're actually comparing this idea to our other top-selling products across the company. So we can sort of compare this to what we're selling now, see how well it fits into our portfolio. We're looking at some data that's brought back from the service here.
Yeah, and the data coming back from the service is going into the bottom left section in the Excel document. That is the projected revenue for this particular idea. And check out the chart that we have. It's bound to that section of the document. So we fetch the information from the task pane app. When we get the information back, then we take the information and we just merely inject it into that part of the Excel document, which drives our pretty charts and graphs for us right there. So there are many different ways to connect Excel to a data source, right? And who else has been limited sometimes by, man, I wish I could just go to a service and provide my own specific arguments and write my own plumbing to get data in Excel. Has anybody ever run into that situation? This overcomes it. Now you've got maximum flexibility to go after any service you want that you create to get data in, and then use the API to inject it from the task pane into the
and
Excel document.
As we'll see later, it's basically just a few lines of jQuery and JavaScript to do this.
So I'm showing off here the different values that we got from our return and how they're mapped into the document and where they appear there. There's also this top section of the app here, which really tells us all up how well qualified is this idea from these many different factors. You can see it's pretty well qualified in three ways, but there's a couple ways where it's not real qualified. So what we're going to do now is simulate time has gone by. People have triaged this idea, worked on it more, and they have really just taken the time to flush it out as part of this innovation management process. Now when we've simulated that happen and the data changed in the database, we come back to our application here. Look at that. It's well qualified across the board now as well. And you can do that by just clicking refresh in there as well, or reloading that frame, or completely opening it back up. So it's a very, very dynamic system. So now, idea's been qualified. It's been triaged. Now it's time to select the winners for that round that were evaluated based on after they've been triaged. What happened? Okay, we're down to four ideas now. These are the four ideas that will be prototyped and submitted to focus groups to really see how legitimate this idea is. Do we want to take it to market?
So after we go to the focus groups, we compile our data, maybe using the Excel survey component that we saw in the keynote the other day, or maybe some other data analysis into our database. So we're back here in another one of our Excel apps. We can see we have that same metadata block to provide consistent information about these ideas across the whole app. We're going to load our data in here. We maintain our qualification dashboard, since that's still important information for the person reviewing this to know. So in addition to our custom app here that's provided us the data, again, we've got that data out of our service, bound it to places in Excel. So we're looking through the qualification data again, noticing that in addition to that data, we have some more focus group data coming back here from our service.
So Mike said we've got everything there we had before. We've got the holistic picture. We can make a decision.
Right.
And look, our data is different now
that
we're pulling back.
And so in addition to our custom task pane app, we've actually added the Bing Maps app, which is in Excel Online by default now. So what we've done is injected our focus group data into this table, and we've bound it to a couple of different modes of the Bing map. So what we can see on this slide, in this workbook, is that we're comparing how likely someone is in a certain city to buy our new idea versus to buy our existing top seller. So we can see that here in Kansas, this idea is extremely popular, even better than our best seller. Up in Seattle, not so much. I think maybe with our human USB port idea, that's because it's raining all the time and you're going to get water in your USB port and you don't need that.
No one needs a short circuit.
That's right.
Especially
some of us
Seattle.
Already have enough short
that's
circuits
right.
anyway.
So this is all out of the box with the Bing Map app for Office, too. We're just using it and binding our data to it.
And so we've using the same app, we've bound this a couple different ways. So here again, we have a heat map of how popular this idea was with our focus groups in different cities.
You can see clicking on Wichita, it's really popular, 10 out of 10, but in Aspen, only 2 out of 10, so not real popular there. Again, this is another example of the heat map, just with a different question: how likely are you to purchase the app? So as you can see, there's just a ton of rich functionality that you're really putting in. I mean, does this feel like a typical Excel document or Word document anymore? It doesn't, does it? It's like it's a real line of business application you're doing, and you're just taking advantage of all these pieces that Microsoft provides us to build these things now. Just takes a little imagination, kind of think up how you would use these things together, but hopefully seeing a demo like this will really give you some more ideas on how can I take these things and really merge them together to build something great for my users. So now we're at the point, okay, the ideas have gone all the way through the process. We've looked at the winning idea. Oh, I forgot, get ahead of myself a little bit here. We're adding more focus group results. More results have come in from across the nation. And when we do that and we open back up our documents again, you'll see that the numbers and the heat maps and things look a little bit different than they did before. So I'm just going to skip beyond that because it just changes the shapes and the colors of things a little bit. And we'll move it to the end. And so now the ideas have been completely processed. The winner has been determined. And when we go refresh the page, now you can see on the leaderboard, we've gone all the way end to end. And we have a winner for our Contoso Idea Store contest. It's pretty amazing that you can do that whole thing in the cloud, isn't it? Thanks for hanging with us through our IP issues there as well. I'm glad we recorded it and could just move on. So since we were presenting some other slides during that, I don't think we're really too far behind as a matter of fact. So what we're going to do now is break it down. I'm going to tell you how we build all this. I mean, we saw that this is huge. There's so many moving pieces. What are they and how do you build it? Well, we started with the Office 365 private website. And what can it do? It can do a ton. And as I talked about before, while we were trying to recover our demo there a little bit, the important point to make is that just don't look at an Office 365 site as a place to dump documents and do collaboration. Look at it as your hub, as a place where you can really host an app and enhance it with these pieces from Azure and use the pieces SharePoint does well, but enhance it with the other things as well. It's your foundation. So how do we do it? Well, it really wasn't different compared to a typical software development lifecycle. Even though we're all in the cloud here instead of on-premises, things don't change much. Here's the wireframe we originally made. As you can see, it's laid out a little different than where it landed once our designer took it and moved things around on the page, but all the components are the same. We basically brainstormed the idea for the demo, wireframed it. You can see the different colors that indicate what's Office 365 site for SharePoint and what's in the cloud. After that, the design got made, we looked at the design and said what architecture will accommodate this design, and then we built it out.
So we're going to go through each of these components a little bit and just kind of discuss the patterns we use to create them. So you'll see the same format in a lot of these slides. So our data source here, as we said, is a Windows Azure SQL database. Holds all our idea data, our custom app data. You know, in a real scenario, it might be some kind of enterprise resource planning system, something like that. Data access model. We use the ASP.NET Web API as our service layer. It's important to note that you can really use any kind of service layer you want here in any technology. We like the ASP.NET Web API. We built some of the rest of our code on MVC. It kind of plays well with that. That's just a choice we made there. So in turn, those web API service methods use the Entity Framework to query our database. From a UI perspective, this thing is a Windows Azure website using ASP.NET MVC 5. So, you know, it's a pretty traditional website here. So this particular app uses server-side code to go do what it needs to do, and a little bit of HTML and jQuery to make it interactive. So we presented that on the SharePoint page, just using the client web part, basically iframe.
The My Ideas web part, exact same architecture there, SQL database, hit the web API, go through Entity Framework, get our data back, and then render it out through the Razor engine there, drop it on the page with the client web part. The announcements one's a little different. Here, as I demonstrated, the announcements come from a list in SharePoint. They're not coming from a database in SharePoint, or in Azure, I mean. So how do we get to them? Has anybody seen this new SharePoint context filter you can use with MVC websites now? This new Visual Studio template, a couple people nodding their head. This thing is awesome. It's my favorite thing to come out since the app model to really enhance our ability to develop with it. Essentially, we use the ASP.NET Web API again to get to our data back on the SharePoint site. So we're heading from the Web API in Azure. We decorate it with the SharePoint context filter attribute. When you do that, that is going to plumb all of your OAuth and all of your SharePoint context by simply decorating your method with that attribute. That's all it takes. Has anyone ever written the code before to use the old token helper and try to keep your context mapped and all that, right? It takes a few days, right, to get your framework, your code written, to map everything perfect with MVC every time. Now all you need to do is create your project based on this template. And when you do, it puts this SharePoint context class in there and makes it available for you. After you do that, then you see the other highlighted line of code there, the SharePoint context provider.current get SharePoint context. That's going to give you your SharePoint context. So it knows I was called from a SharePoint site. I'm going to extract the context from it, and then you can take that context at that point and just use it to create whatever objects you need in the CSOM to go and query your data like we did here, or to do anything else with the CSOM and SharePoint. The UI model, again, for this one is the exact same as before. It's just ASP.NET, MVC, the Razor engine running on our Azure website. So essentially, as we were showing you that home page there, really three pieces of our home page we're actually on an Azure website and just inside of Frames.
So our admin links app, like we said, we didn't want to do a lot of hand-waving in this, but we did need a little bit just to kind of move the demo along. This one's a little different. So from a data source perspective, it's similar. And not that we're actually loading the links from our database, but most of the actions that happen when we click one of these are going to affect the database in some way. So data access model, again, we're using our ASP.NET Web API. This one's a little different. We extended our service to have a JSONP controller that can, you know, do what it needs to do, still take a JSONP result, wrap it in a callback, send that back. Again, Entity Framework to talk to our database. UI model on this one is pure HTML with some JavaScript. We happen to kind of hard code this into our master page, but there's no reason we couldn't have wrapped it in an app or something more flexible. The point of here is just we needed this anyway. We might as well just demonstrate how we can use JSONP to interact with these things if we need to.
So how do we make it so pretty? Believe it or not, it really only took a day. And once we had the design, only one day to implement all the HTML and the CSS in there. Given we didn't push it to the limit, right? We stuck with a pretty simple and clean design, and we stayed away from things that you would design that could make it hard to implement in SharePoint. But really, it only took a day to brand this up. Why did it only take a day? Because we built a ton of this in the more complex UI pieces in the Razor HTML right out there on ASP.NET, you know, running on Azure. We didn't have to work through doing that via editing a display template or something like that inside of a content by search web part, or rolling our own HTML and working within the classes SharePoint has and things like that. So that's why it went so quick. And then when we rolled it out, I'm not going to spend much time here, because while we were working on trying to figure out the issue with the IP address, I talked through this, but you can come back and use this as a point of reference. The very bottom is the most important piece. It's called the SharePoint Online Solution Pack for Branding and Provisioning. It contains examples that show you how to provision and brand SharePoint sites by using CSOM, and it works for Office 365 sites.
There's a link to it at the end of our deck when you grab the slides. It's
That's
there.
Right, yeah. There's several slides at the end of this deck which have links to other things. We added it in there just yesterday, too, so you got the link as well. So Windows Azure, well, this was our glue, as I mentioned. You name it, I can do it, that's for sure. We used all these capabilities right out of the Azure stack to build this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through them because we already talked about them, but it's good for reference to just come back and see what we used there. So that brings us to Apps for Office. Do you remember what the name of this session originally was?
I think it was probably Enabling Business Scenarios Using Apps for Office.
It was. And so it originally started out, let's just do Apps for Office in this session, because it's in the Office Dev track. Well, by the time we got our heads around what we would like to do with the demo, and talked to the folks at Microsoft about it, and they said, we like that idea. Let's build that demo. We can use that. It'll have a long tail and a lot of goodness. It really paints a good picture of how you can do things in the cloud. We started looking at the title and going, well, this is a lot more than about Apps for Office, isn't it, as you saw. So we do have the Apps for Office in it, though. Let's talk about them a little bit. So has anybody been to Apps for Office sessions yet in this show, conference? A couple people have. So if you haven't been to one, I'll give you a real quick crash course on what an Apps for Office is. It's essentially the blue regions of this page. In the task pane or embedded in certain Office documents, you can put a web page. That's an App for Office. There is a JavaScript library named office.js. You can get it off a CDN or reference it locally if you need to debug. Office.js gives you all the hooks to take the content in your web page and hook it to the content in your Office document. Remember when we did the drop-down list and update things? Or we have it load and it finishes loading and it starts punching data into sections of the page that drive a chart or a graph for the Bing map? Those are all accommodated by the Office.js. So you've seen what they can do, and I showed you, and Michael showed you too, how we can mix and match them. Out-of-the-box ones, multiple ones, one inside of document, one in task pane. It's all fair game. So they sound pretty cool, don't they? Like, so how do we make those things? Just a couple quick things to mention here. There really is no correct, at this time, like identified and Microsoft-sponsored pattern that you have to use to make one. When you create an Apps for Office, you can do so by using templates in Visual Studio. You can say, I want a provider-hosted application to host them, and then in your provider-hosted application, right-click, pick Add New Item, and pick App for Office. It walks you through a wizard, and because you've made a provider-hosted app, when you add an App for Office, it takes all the artifacts that support it and run the web page on your provider-hosted app and puts them in that project for you. So they give you a stub out of a pattern to follow. Really, you can follow any pattern you want to implement these because they're a web page at the end of the day.
So the pattern we picked here, again, we've seen the data source and data access model things when we talked about our SharePoint components. Same exact thing here. Where we differ a little bit is in our UI model. Todd mentioned office.js. That's how we bring our Office API in. We'll go through some of the individual API methods we use in a minute. One important thing we wanted to note is office.context.document.url. That's how we kind of tied our Apps for Office back to our database and understood the context of which idea we were working with. We basically just parse the URL of our SharePoint subsite that was hosting these things, figure out what app we're in, use that as our key. There's a bunch of different ways to do that, but we thought context was important in this particular scenario. Just know that doesn't really make sense in the mail app because you don't really have a document URL there. Again, Windows Azure website. In this case, we did not use the MVC Razor framework. The only reason we didn't is because when you use the Visual Studio templates, it provisions raw HTML. We decided to leave that alone. If we did want to use Razor, of course, we could have extended it to do that. Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, that's simple, isn't it? That's a really simple pattern there. I mean, this isn't like, wow, I have to learn this whole new API and this whole new way to program things. It's like, no, you're building a web page. You're throwing it in an iframe in Office. You got this little JavaScript file to do plumbing back and forth. That's it. You're good to go. So doing these things is very easy to accomplish. So we're going to break down each app now and start showing some code in it. So Our Word app for Office. Well, we had multiple task pane apps. We had the one from the store, the Wikipedia app. We also had the custom one that we created. As you saw, they had read-write capabilities between both SQL Azure as well as the document itself. They were deployed in a provider-hosted SharePoint app. I'm going to start bouncing back and forth between a couple slides now and showing you some of the code and how, what this looks like in Visual Studio.
So just real quick, our overview of our solution or our projects we have here. We have our database project that we couldn't get published earlier. That's just standard, you know, SQL stuff. It's actually really easy to integrate this with the cloud. I don't know if everybody's done that yet, but something we'll touch on in a second. Our entity framework models here. This is our primary, you know, code repository of an MVC website. It's pretty standard. The important thing to note here is the AFOs, that this is some of the stuff that gets automatically added by the IDE when we create a new app for Office. We get the app.js, app.css, and the supporting HTML to go in there and start building. And then our mail app is actually provisioned a little bit differently because we're not provisioning it into with our SharePoint site. We can look at this mail app here and look at the manifest for it.
And that's right. Remember when I mentioned when we seeded the first round ideas, it made a team site? It uploaded our app. That app got installed and activated. It created those document libraries. It dropped the documents in there. It also installed the task pane registrations of the apps for Office within those documents we put in the document library. So all that happens within the single solution.
Right. And so this is our manifest file from one of those task pane apps. There's some HTML here. We're not going to go through all of it. The important things to note in these manifests are the capability here. So the capability name workbook, that tells us we're dealing with spreadsheets, we're dealing with Excel. And also the permissions required, that this app only particularly makes sense in a context where we have write permissions to the document. Mm-hmm.
Does it look like an other type of manifest we've seen before? Perhaps a SharePoint app manifest? It's the same thing. It's just that registration with SharePoint to give it the metadata on where to go to run it. And you probably saw the URL in the page there as Mike was. Can you pop that one back?
Sure.
It's also got the URL inside of it and the source location there. Well, there's our page running on Azure. That's where the iframe knows how to go to see what actually it needs to render for that app for Office. So they're very easy to set up. I'd like to walk you through a little bit of the code to show you what this looks like. I mean, we talked about the pattern, and as you can imagine, the pattern is pretty simple, we talked about, right? So the code's not really rocket science either. The first thing is, this is in our service controller running on Azure. This is the endpoint that we invoke via jQuery AJAX calls within our app for Office. So this one is called get idea. It takes in the idea name, in which we parse out of that office.document or context.document.url. That is a property we can pull out because we're using Office.js. So we figured out the URL where the document runs. Well, that URL is in a document library, which is in a subsite in SharePoint, right? So if I know the subsite, I can parse the URL out, get that value, and that's what we pass in to get idea. You could do that with a GUID or something else. We thought for demo's purposes, using a string to really see idea name or idea 2 would be a lot easier to understand and explain in subsequent blog posts than GUIDs or numbers, so you know your correlation. But you could do it however you want. So we pass that in here, and then look, it's real simple, right? You just got a bunch of entity framework code there that's going and grabbing the data back from the database and returning it. We also had the ability to update the idea. You can see that method right there. Very simple. Again, it's just a simple put using entity framework to update the data. Not really a SharePoint specific topic there. As we move over to the JavaScript file associated with the Word app for Office that ran in the task pane, at the very beginning of the operational life cycle of the page, this get idea from Azure fires. And here you can see it's just making a RESTful call to get our data back. It's using AJAX to retrieve that information. Once it retrieves the information, see the office.select? That's coming out of that office.js file. That's allowing us to go and bind to the content controls we registered in the office document to those regions of the page and then update their values. Finally, if we look at this bind content controls method, we do this up front. In order to set the value of a control that you've bound, you first have to bind it. And this is all the code it takes to attach to a region inside of the document so that you can do that. It's really simple, isn't it? A very simple pattern, easy to implement, and as you can see, very powerful functionality.
Yeah, we just should note real quick that those are asynchronous calls when we do the actual binding of these things together. So we can call, we're passing empty functions in here, but if we needed to do something upon those bindings, we could easily pass a JavaScript callback in there that would happen after that's complete.
So the final thing to show about an app for Office is just the HTML file itself. As we mentioned, when Visual Studio creates them, it doesn't put it into the Razor format with the model view controller. It just gives you a straight up HTML page, very simple HTML. I mean, you write whatever you want there and you drive your user interface. At the top of the page, you include a reference to the Office.js file. You can see you can get that from the CDN or do it locally so you can debug. And that's it. That's all it takes, really, to wire up an app for Office. And then after that, it's just really have fun with your jQuery and your Ajax and just build it out there client-side. Our Excel app for Office follows the exact same pattern. We only had one app for Office here, just the custom one we created. And the code is slightly different. Inside of Visual Studio, you'll see here in a bit, that you use to update the chart and graph areas. Essentially, instead of the Office select and then individual content binding, you select an area of where you want to inject that information and then put it into the matrix there. So we'll bounce over to that one real quick and show what that one looks like. This one had is actually the code that did our triage app. And as you can see here, we're referencing specific sheets within the document. So this Office.js library that we have is very powerful. It allows us to get to every nook and cranny of what we have inside of our Office documents and bind information in different ways. So you're really not limited by this API that we found. There's just same pattern here, using the JavaScript to get the information back. This is the code. Do you remember those gauges in the top right that changed different colors based on how qualified it was? That's all we did here is react to the value coming back from a database and apply a different CSS class to do that. So it's completely client-side and very light implementation as a result. Our evaluate results app that we have, again, the same exact pattern we had before. A little bit short up on the time here, so we're not going to jump into that code, but it's just a lot more JavaScript like we saw before. And a little bit different syntax to say, okay, I have some more things to do because I have two columns of data to spit out instead of just one. But again, you'll see all that in the blog post and be able to just reuse it very easily.
So the mail app for Office, again, kind of a similar pattern here, but in this case, we don't actually have to get any. Oops, sorry. In the wrong place.
Oh, wait, let's just hear Mike.
Go ahead.
So, in our mail app for Office, similar pattern as Michael mentioned, allowed us to visualize the data. We didn't even have to include the Office.js file if we didn't want to do this. It's not required for that to work. It's only required to plumb things between your app and the Office client. We didn't have any interaction going on between the two. There's brand new functionality that just came out with this as part of Service Pack 1 for SharePoint, and it's available right now. It's called a Compose app for Outlook. So we could actually done this inside of a Compose app for Outlook instead. That brings us to the Windows Phone 8 piece. So as you saw, we could view the announcements. That data came from a SharePoint list. We could submit the idea, and that data went into the SQL Azure database. How do we do it? Well, our data source, as I mentioned, we had two different places we need to go for data. We started, when we built this application, with the project template you see right there on the screenshot, the Windows Phone SharePoint List app. When you select this project template, it makes a Visual Studio project for you that works with Windows 8. It runs you through a wizard, and it says, hey, what's the URL to the site that has the list you want me to connect to? You provide the URL, you authenticate, you pick which list you want, and then you pick create, read, update, delete. Do I want all or just one of those operations, or a mix or match? We picked read. That's all we needed to do for the announcements list. You click next, it's done. Your authentication is all wired up. Your whole CRUD is wired up front to back. And all we did was change the look and the feel of the page that displayed the announcements. And that requirement was done. Like an hour or two to do that plumbing now. The data access model under the hood when you use that project is CSOM going after the announcements list. There are a few references it will add to Microsoft.SharePoint.Phone.Client that allow it to do that plumbing. To get to the data to submit the idea and to populate the department's dropdown, we used our same pattern with ASP.NET Web API, which used Entity Framework to get to the data. And the UI model is just XAML there. Notifications, Azure Mobile Services, I talked about before.
So Visual Studio has a crush on Azure is kind of what we titled this slide. We were impressed when we started doing this how kind of easy it was to publish these things. SharePoint apps we've seen in other places across the conference. But to actually publish the whole Windows Azure website, including all of the various AFO components and stuff, really we can publish that site in something like 15 seconds at the most. What we really found cool about that is we had a couple of other devs in addition to both of us working on this frequently. Being able to easily publish to Azure and also debug it remotely, easily, kind of gave us the ability to avoid the works on my machine, doesn't work on my machine thing, because we're all using a common environment there. Just as compared to how things used to be in previous versions of Azure and Visual Studio, we were really impressed with how easy it was to publish and deploy this stuff.
And this may sound absolutely ludicrous, but I encourage you to go try it and double check this. You can publish a site to Azure and hit F5 in your browser to see the change you just made faster than you can do it on your local machine. And I've got an i7 with 32 gigs of RAM, all allocated to the VM. It's faster than local dev. It just sounds unbelievable, but that's really what we found to be the case. So we, after 1 week into the project, we stopped doing all local dev. We developed this entire thing over the course of about 6 weeks in Azure. It was never running on a local machine. And if you would have told me that would have been possible 5 or 6 years ago, I'm not sure I would have believed you. But now that I've been through it and I worked with it for over a month straight, I'm really a big fan of that. So to wrap it up, did you get all that? That's a lot of information, isn't it? It's really cool what we can do in the cloud. Like we started out, the Cloud App for Model with SharePoint apps for Office and Azure, you can build something entirely cloud-hosted to build a real-world line-of-business app. The apps for Office have an awesome set of integration points with the Office client applications. As you saw, we did several clever things with them that were like real world. This would be a helpful document for me to work through a process with. Azure's our glue. It was everywhere, wasn't it? We're constantly calling into it and working with data and sharing it across documents in different places in SharePoint. Does it give you any ideas about crossing site collections as well? Especially in Office 365, where we don't have some of the things we have on-prem. Plumbing with SharePoint and OAuth with the MVC websites is a piece of cake with that new attribute. Very easy, and it plumbs it all for you when you run through the wizard to set up your project. And finally, as we just said, Visual Studio's got really high developer productivity nowadays with this. You spend your whole day in Studio once you get your publishing profile set up really fast. Fast stuff. So here, as you can see, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 slides worth of resources for you to check out. And I took my time, so did Michael, as we put them there. We didn't just go on Bing, find the first five we could that looked related. We took the ones that we had bookmarked during the project that we went back to over and over. So it's the real nitty-gritty as well as some of the hop-off point pages that you would use to do these things. So thanks for being our session today. Thanks for rolling with the punches on our demo, and have a good rest of the conference.
Thank you.